Welcome to Manawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm CB Drogi. This week, Land Grab by Yelena Crane. Grizz and Seth came like thieves in the night to undo a centuries-old theft. They razed a land 10,000 football fields across and 30 football fields deep into the heavens like a loam of cloud. Only a gash remained in the earth where it used to be. It turned Grizz's stomach. He had to leave any of it behind.
"Sorry, love. It's the physics."
Seth had already worked the navs for the dead drop, but Grizz made him double and triple check the numbers. "Anything goes wrong, you'll have to blame it on Witten, Newton, and Pascal," Seth said. Grizz didn't expect any different from him. He'd chosen Seth for his reliability, and because the big plot of land meant something to him, too. History was harder to burn out of the fire in the soul than pages in a good book. Maybe it would have been different if he and his forebears had forgotten. Now that they were stealing it back, they knew the pitfalls to avoid, and they'd have to avoid them, because the difference in the famed land distributor Grizz was stealing land now was he took everyone sleeping there along with it. This time he wasn't doing it for himself, but for his people, who'd been too long without their country. Grizz set the thrust to the fastest speed that wouldn't leave a trail of soil raining down. If they were noticed before the drop, then the drop would fail.
"Worried, boss?" Seth said.
Grizz was trying not to show the strain on his face. He couldn't imagine what it would be like for those who stayed behind to wake in the morning to find themselves in a state of limbo, in their homes, but not in their homes.
"Anyone that stayed after all the years of protests have only themselves to blame. Me and ours are done being strangers in a strange land. Maybe they'll finally be able to commiserate,"
Grizz said, without any inflection in his voice, trying to bury his unease at the gray role he felt forced to take in order to enact change.
"Toast to that."
"We will. Gotta get there first."
Grizz turned into various stations, listening for sightings of a dark flying object prepared to tune them out. The floating body of soil looked unnatural in the window, bobbing in the air at night. In the daytime, it had looked like a hole plucked from the sky showing into the vast dark unknown. That's why by daytime they had to be sure it'd be in its new home with its rightful people. Grizz heard something in the channel. They were still 20 minutes out before they could lose the signal. Almost home safe. Home.
"Grizz?"
"Shut them out. Throw them off course. Without scattering dirt everywhere."
He meant for it to come out as a command, but it sounded weak, his voice squeaky. Seth tried to scatter the radio signal, but he couldn't do that and keep the gravity beam focused. "Can't beat them, join them." He added his voice to theirs, to add the most outlandish conspiracy theories on floating islands until none could be believed.
"It's because the earth is flat," he said, with an auto-tuned voice.
The voices in the signal laughed.
"We're being traced," Seth said.
Seth maneuvered the land like a parent bent on feeding a child a stalk of broccoli. The numbers reporting in started to change, each voice correcting the other. Grizz tried to throw them off even more, adding latitudes and longitudes that made no sense given its previous location.
"We're out."
"I still hear them."
Grizz was shouting, sweat pooling in his pits. There should have been no signal in range.
"Nothing in range except..."
Grizz stared out at the black mass floating in the black sky.
"Except the voices we've brought with us."
They cried out in fear. Land wasn't supposed to move, though an earthquake could be forgiven every now and again, but land definitely wasn't supposed to fly. Grizz never wondered how the Fresenians, who'd been born and raised on the same soil, and their parents and the grandparents before them, would feel. Not until he heard them with his own ears. He adjusted the gravity bubble settings, cut off all outer access. If anyone was foolish enough to step to the edge, they'd fall. He hoped none were foolish. Grizz reasoned they would have woken up eventually to find out they'd been taken. It was better some hadn't slept through the whole affair.
Did we make things worse, Grizz? Frisenians will want a fight.
We'll give them one.
The confidence Grizz once felt in their cause was shaken.
They can't get away with theft and still hold their head high in polite society this time.
Seth made a face. He and Grizz both had similar thoughts about polite society that talked a lot and acted little.
Worry more about the Frisenians we brought back with us than the ones in the capital, anyway.
In another hour, they reached the turbulent waters of the Dead Drop. Seth rocked the land back and forth so when it finally hit the water's surface, it settled into the ocean's rhythm.
We made it, Seth said.
We're home, Grizz corrected him.
Home. The words had not been spoken with the same affection for a millennium. Seth and Grizz stepped off onto a strip of land far from the cities, enjoying the sensation of solid ground.
A toast?
Seth shrugged his shoulders, imagining champagne or distilled spirits, not the traditional toasts of old. Their kind lost more than the land when it had been stolen. They'd lost a culture. Grizz crouched, taking a long whiff of the dark soil. It smelled of freshly turned earth. Dark, warm loam sifted through his hands onto his lap. He shoveled it back into his palms and pressed his hands to Seth's.
A toast.
A sense of pride and shame shook Grizz. Pride because his children could run where his great many times grandparents had become dust. Shame because the Frisenians had 1,000 years worth of their ancestors' bones here, too.
We'll have to find a way to live together.
With our enemies?
Seth looked at him like he'd gone mad.
With the many times removed children of our enemies.
Seth grabbed the fistful of dirt.
Teach me how.
Grizz wasn't sure if he meant about the toast or about letting go of the hate bred into them. He hoped for both. This has been Land Grab. Written by Yelena Crane. Manawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast is supported by patrons on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/manawaker to find out more. You can also support Manawaker Studio by purchasing some of our books or games. Visit Manawaker's new web store at payhip.com/manawaker. The Flash Fiction Podcast theme song is by Kevin MacLeod. The podcast is produced, edited, and narrated by me, C.B. DeRogi. Thanks for listening.